I speak quite a bit on Sunday mornings. Forgive me. Anybody have allergies going on right now? Yeah. I want to share kind of from my heart this morning. I have a couple of verses. You see it there on the screen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are three Old Testament figures that, primarily in the book of Genesis, that God shows us and helps us to see as an example. And I really felt like the Lord took me back to this yesterday as I was preparing for this morning's message. But it took me a little bit to figure out what he was wanting me to go, which direction he was wanting me to go with this. And I certainly hope this is going to be impactful to your heart today. But if you don't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are, this was a father, a son, and then a grandson. Abraham, he's considered the father of faith. If you grew up in an Assembly of God church anyway, you probably heard the song, Father Abraham. And Isaac was his son, and then Isaac's son was Jacob. And I want to come at it from this direction that was family. And this morning, my kids are not in here in this service. They were in the first service, but I want to come at it from this angle. And as we talked about today being Grandparents Day, that's kind of hard for me to imagine being a grandparent right now. But that'll be pretty cool someday. Sweeten them up and send them home, right? That's what mine do. My parents do. But from this angle, pretend for a moment I'm Abraham. I have a son named Nate. We don't know what the grandkid's name is going to be yet. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want God to be my God. I want God to be my kid's God. And I want them to raise their kids in the fear and discipline of the Lord, so that they know Christ, and they make certain to let their kids know who he is and show them what that is. And that's the angle that I'm coming from today. It's about family in that regard, and our commitment, and I feel that our duty as unto the Lord to serve him with our whole hearts. I want nothing more than my kids to serve Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. I want my grandkids to serve Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. I want you to serve Jesus, and I want your kids to serve Jesus, or your grandkids to serve Jesus. Because it matters. Can I simply remind you, and if you're not aware of it, I want to point out that nobody can get to heaven unless their name is written in the book of life. So then that leads to a wonderful question. How does my name get written in the Lamb's book of life? It's very, very simple. Put your wallet away. It's free. But it will cost you everything. It's free to serve Jesus. But it costs you something at the same time. It doesn't cost money. But he says, what did he tell the disciples? And then he told them, and that continues on to us, hey, if you want to follow me, you've got to give up your life. That's a cost. In other words, we can't do it our way any longer. We've got to do it his way. And so that's how we get our name in the book of life, is by acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross. Probably didn't look as nice as that one. Jesus died on a cross so that you and I could be forgiven. He shed pure, innocent blood so that we would be cleansed from our guilt, from sin. Aren't you thankful for that? And I want my kids to know Jesus. I want my kids to know who He is. And then I want my grandkids to know. And I want all of them that come after that. And I might be that grandpa. I won't need a cane because I'm going to be like Caleb. Go back and look at the Old Testament. He didn't need that stuff. But I'm going to keep something like that close by so I can knock them in the head if they start acting up. Hey, what are you talking about? That's foolishness. That's not serving Jesus. I'm just talking out loud now. But doesn't love sometimes say, hey, that ain't going to fly? Parents, I want to encourage you to be parents. It's okay if you parent your kids. You do not have to let them be the parent. Matter of fact, that won't turn out well. It won't turn out well at all. If you want them to serve Christ, let them hear you pray. Let them see you reading the Bible. Let them see you living it out loud. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? I know. God will give you the grace. God will strengthen you. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to take you to a couple of scriptures. First, we're going to go to Acts. Acts chapter 16. And before we read this verse, I want to help you understand what's going on in the context of this. So Paul and some of his friends, we know at least Silas was there, and they were in this city, and they had gone there to communicate the gospel to people in that city that would listen. And so they were wanting to tell people about Jesus. Well, in the meantime, as they were just traveling about in the city day after day, there was this young lady who would follow them. Now, this young lady had an evil spirit. And she was possessed by a demon. And this young lady would follow them, and she, because of this evil spirit would say, hey, listen to these men, they'll tell you how to get saved. Well, what was happening with that, it became a distraction to Paul and Silas. And Paul, after several days of this going on, Paul turns around and commands the evil spirit to come out of her, and it does, because there's power in the name of Jesus. That sounds great, right? And it is. The problem is that, see, this young lady was a servant. She was a slave, and her owners realized that, see, they used to make money off of her telling fortunes because of that evil spirit. Now their dreams were dashed because they weren't going to make much money off of her any longer. So they report this incident to the authorities. I think they embellished it a little bit. Oh yeah, these guys are disrupting our city. Can I tell you that sometimes when God does a miracle, some are going to see it not as a miracle. That's what happened in this case. Go back and check it out. Paul, through the power in the name of Jesus, sees this young lady delivered, and now somebody's fussing about it. Something's wrong with this picture, isn't there? So now the authorities come after Paul and Silas and arrest them. And because they don't want them to get away, they put them in the jail cell in this dungeon. And they lock them up and cuff them. And the Bible says that about midnight, everybody say midnight. Good job. Everybody's awake. Good deal. about midnight. You think you have problems, right? And I know some of you do. Some of you have major things going on in your lives. But what did Paul and Silas do in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the difficulty? It says they began to praise the Lord out loud. I can imagine that other inmates were going, "Hey, shut up. Keep it down over there. We're trying to sleep." Paul and Silas, "We're not done yet. Shh, hang on." They just continued to praise. You know what happened? It was an earthquake. And God loosened every handcuff, every jail cell. And while that was going on, the jailer, now you have to understand that the jailer, he would have been killed by his superiors if these prisoners got away. He realized that all the doors opened up and all their stocks, all their restraints fell off. That's a miracle, another miracle. God did an amazing thing, didn't he? And so this jailer realized that if any of these prisoners get away, they're going to kill me. My superiors will kill me for not doing my job. So he was going to fall on his own sword and kill himself because he knew that they were all going to go free. And Paul said, "Whoa, hold up. You don't need to do that. No need to do that. We're all right here. We're all right here." The jailer comes toward Paul and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. This jailer realizes that Paul and Silas, because you know that he had to have been able to hear them praising God, right? He understood enough to know that these are men of God, evidently. Because when they started praising God, something happened. Come on. What must I do to be saved? Now, I'm trying to bring it back around. Remember we were talking about earlier, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 34. Paul explains how he can be saved by placing faith in Jesus. And then he said, then the scripture says that the man took him to his house. See, he brought them into his house, the jailer. He brought Paul and Silas into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Isn't that incredible? The jailer's whole house. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Each one of us has folks around us. We call them family. Or if you don't have family, there's got to be somebody that you love, somebody close enough. That our whole house would be saved, that our whole house would serve God, that our whole house would follow Jesus with our whole heart. What a blessing. What a privilege. And it's kind of tough, I know, because you don't get to make somebody else's decision, do you? I don't get to make anybody else's decision. Even my own kids, I can enforce something, but still, it's their decision whether they're going to follow it or not, believe it or not, right? So this jailer, his whole house came to Christ through this chain of events. So now the jailer, he's kind of like Abraham. Now his kid, Isaac, has believed, and then maybe one day he's going to have a grandkid that they can teach to follow Christ. It's about being a parent. It's about being a follower of Christ. And so now I'm going to take you to an Old Testament passage of Scripture. This one is a very, very well-known passage of Scripture, a well-known verse, Joshua 24, verse 15. And the people of God, the people, Moses has gone now. And now the people are evidently starting to follow other gods. And that's kind of foreign for you and I here in America, because we don't see these little gods that made out of wood or metal or clay that we worship and bow down to. But there are many idols in America. Are there not? What are you bowing down to? What are you bowing down to? But Joshua, he says here, he addresses the whole nation of Israel, and he says, guys, if you refuse to serve the Lord, let that not be the case. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Are you going to serve the gods of your parents or grandparents? If it's other than Christ, are you going to serve them? Or in the next part of the verse, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? Who are you going to serve? Who are you serving? Are you going to serve the God of this land? The gods that those around us serve? Or is it going to be the Lord? Who's it going to be? Joshua was throwing this out there to the whole nation, to the group of them, and saying, you got to figure this out, guys. Who's it going to be? Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve somebody else. Look at this last statement. I love this. Joshua says in front of everybody, he raised his head high. And he said, but me, as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm gonna put it back in terms that for me, Chad, Nate, and question mark, we don't know who that little one's going to be one of these days, several years from now. I'd be excited about it, but it needs to be in the right time. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who are you serving? If it's not Jesus, you've got to give him your heart. I care more than just for my family. Certainly, I want my family to follow Christ and serve him. But I care for you as well, and I care for, there's people in our community. That's why we do some of the things we do, church, is to impact their lives. Because in reality, those who follow Christ, we ought to reflect. We ought to be light that they can see in a dark world. We ought to be light that they can see. They ought to be able to tell that there's a difference. And at the end of the day, they should be able to come to us and say, how must I be saved? And we should be able to answer that. Each one of you should be able to answer that and say, instead of having to come to Pastor Chad, you should be able to answer that on your own. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how to be saved. I have said it so many times, you should know it by now. Because it's a message that just comes out of me. It's kind of like if you cut me, you bleed, right? When you squeeze me, that's what comes out. The gospel. That's what I want to come out. That's what I want to be in my heart and let it come out of who I am. It's the gospel. That it's all about Jesus. So who are you serving? And who are you teaching your kids to serve? Who are you teaching those around you to follow? I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and today you hear Joshua's words, and he says, choose today who you will serve. you haven't been serving Christ, but today you want to begin to do that. You want to begin a relationship with Jesus because you need his forgiveness. You recognize his love. If that is you, I want to simply ask you to raise your hand. You've not been serving him, but today you want to begin a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand so I can see it. If you're at home, obviously I won't be able to see you raise your hand. Would you please let me know? Would you please let me know that you're making that decision to follow Jesus? I promise you it'll be the best decision you ever made. Oh, it won't be easy, but he'll be with you. He'll lead you and he'll guide you. So I'm going to switch gears now. And for those who say, yeah, I want to serve Jesus. I want my kids to know Christ and the kids, my grandkids after them. Maybe they're grown. Maybe even your grandkids are grown. And you want to ask the Lord to just move in their hearts. I'm going to invite you to the front. I'm going to invite you to the altars to spend time with the Lord and ask him to do just that. Or maybe you're saying, Lord, I need to put you first in my life. Touch my family. Lord, I make that commitment to you today that Joshua did. As for me and my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're thinking of people that are outside of your family. Maybe they're neighbors or maybe they're coworkers that you're thinking of right now. You're asking God to help you to reach them. You can only do it because of him anyway. But if any of those apply to you, join me in the altar. Let's pursue the Lord. Let's ask him. You see, this is one of the reasons the church exists, is to evangelize the world, to tell the world that Jesus lives and that he died for them. We all owe him our life, don't we? Join me in the altar if that applies to you. We're gonna seek his face. We're gonna ask him to help us and lead us.